Item one is a rezoning at 320 Stradbrook Avenue under file DAZ 215-2013. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing, and the following item will also be heard at the same time. Item two, a variance at 320 Stradbrook Avenue under file DAV 127495-2013D.
Okay.
So we have for now.
Do you want to intro?
Councillors, we are here today to walk you through the statistical facts and regulatory requirements, the needs of our clientele, and the neighborhood characteristics that were thoughtfully considered to shape the function, form, and use of the lands with a new four-story, 18-unit, and 8-parking-stall residential rental building with front and side door entrances. For background, at the last two hearings, we have been reluctant to overtly state the characteristics of persons we intend to rent to. We understand the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedom enables persons to not be discriminated against because of physical characteristics, religious beliefs, ethnicity, or social economic status. These items should not be debated at a public hearing regarding land use. This development and building design is intended to meet the needs of people who require vistable, affordable rental dwellings due to mobility challenges and social economic status that prevents them from driving. We note at this third public hearing, again, no persons appearing in opposition, and we have a positive report from the planning department. My understanding, some of the conditions have changed since I picked it up recently. And we understand the lands are currently zoned RMFMM, Residential Multifamily District Medium, Urban Infill Area Map 1, which allows a 60-foot tall, 9-dwelling units with 10 parking stalls, with no requirements for cycling, bike room, no requirements for vistable housing, no requirements to have a front door, no requirements to be approved at community committee, and no requirements to be affordable rental. First, this is not precedent setting. This is not a precedent setting to have less parking than dwelling units in a multiple family building in Winnipeg, in the city center community area, in the Fort Rouge East Fort Garry ward, or even in this block of Stradbrook. 1071 Lorette, 3 parking stalls, 10 units, approved at the Board of Adjustment December 5th, 2012. 700 Corden, 5 parking stalls, 21 units, approved at the Board of Adjustment July 18th, 2012. 330 Stradbrook, 35 parking stalls, 33 dwelling units. A variance filed in 2009 to add 2 additional parking stalls was rejected at the Appeals Committee on the recommendation of the Planning Department. 324 Stradbrook, 4 parking stalls, 27 units. And 316 Stradbrook, the property right next door, 5 parking stalls, 18 units, approved at a rezoning at this community committee on November 14th, 2006. Not everyone drives. The existence of reduced parking associated with multifamily dwellings in Winnipeg and the River Osborne neighborhood recognizes the fact that not everyone has the physical ability, the social economic capability, and or the motivation to drive a vehicle. This situation is confirmed in the census statistics for Winnipeg and the Winnipeg Transit and Handy Transit usage, and further exemplified in the River Osborne neighborhood, where there are higher rates of cycling, transit, and walking usage, as well as higher rates of low-income rental and multiple-family dwellings as compared to all of Winnipeg. We're providing you some census data from the River Osborne from 2006. Winnipeg Transit. Winnipeg Transit. And this is from the Direction to the Future, the Guide to Better Transit for Winnipeg, January 2001, which I believe Councillor Jenny Gervasio was on that committee. In general, a higher proportion of Winnipeggers use Winnipeg Transit services. 6 people in 10 use transit at least occasionally. 4 people in 10 make at least 1 trip on transit each week. One-third of the population makes regular use of the system. About 14% of Winnipeggers are completely dependent upon transit for all their trips. A further 22% of Winnipeggers use transit to make some of their trips, but they also choose to drive, walk, or cycle for various other trips. These are all stats compiled by the City of Winnipeg. We've also spoken extensively with Handy Transit in terms of being able to service this property. They find it quite ideal because of the loading and unloading of Handy Transit on the curb side, with a door locating on the passenger side, is suitable for this location. Handy Transit provides a parallel transportation service for people who are legally blind or cannot use regular transit service because of a physical disability. Handy Transit currently has 65 vehicles, 30 cars, 20 vans, and 15 buses with loading, unloading on the passenger side of the vehicle. They operate 7 days a week, servicing locations that are within 500 meters of a regular transit stop. In 2001, Winnipeg Transit provided 449,433 rides to customers. The latest numbers for 2012, the numbers have climbed to 535,676 people. There has been a nominal decrease, slightly less than 1%, in the number of trips due to the change in registration and eligibility criteria. Handy Transit anticipates that the numbers have stabilized and will start to slightly increase over the next several years. Now getting into the stats. Yes, transportation. 68% of Winnipeggers over the age of 15 and employed use a vehicle as a driver. In the River Osborne neighborhood, 37% of the people drive a vehicle. 14% of Winnipeggers over the age of 15 use a public transit. In River Osborne, 32% of the people use public transit. And these are from 2006, prior to rapid transit being constructed. 6.2% of Winnipeggers walk. 21% of River Osborne residents walk. 1.8% of Winnipeggers use a bicycle. 3% in the River Osborne area use a bicycle. Besides using alternative modes of transportation, many non-drivers simply cannot afford to drive. Income and the related ability to own a dwelling is an indicator of the ability to afford to drive. Precious resources are used for food and shelter first before setting aside monies for transportation. For tenureship, 65% of Winnipeggers own their own dwellings. In the River Osborne area, 5.2%. In Winnipeg, 34% of the people are renters. In the River Osborne area, 95%. Social economic. 36% of Winnipeggers earn less than $50,000 a year. 76% of the River Osborne residents earn less than $50,000. 11% of Winnipeggers are low income. 32% of River Osborne residents are low income. Market demands. The number of rental units in Winnipeg is growing as a result of new construction. In October 2011, there were 52,000 units. In October 2012, 52,569. Fort Rouge as a region has the second largest supply of apartment rental units in Winnipeg at 7,370 units. East Kelowna has the most at 7,684 units. However, Fort Rouge is going against the trend found in the rest of the city as it saw a decline of 209 units from October 2012 to October 2013. The vacancy rate in Winnipeg is 1.9% in the spring of 2013. The vacancy rate in Fort Rouge last fall was 1.8%. The quality of dwellings in the River Osborne neighborhood is considerably older and in need of repairs when compared to Winnipeg. Housing quality. 76% of Winnipeg dwellings were constructed prior to 1980. 83% of the River Osborne neighborhood dwellings were constructed prior to 1980. 38% of the Winnipeg dwellings are in need of minor or major repairs. 45% of the River Osborne neighborhood dwellings are in need of minor and major repairs. For housing type, 17% of Winnipeg dwellings are apartment buildings with fewer than five stories, exactly what we're proposing. 52.6% of the River Osborne neighborhood dwellings are apartment buildings fewer than five stories. We looked very carefully at the locational characteristics of this property. We recognize that there's rapid transit, is a 7-minute walk away. There is a bus stop, a 4-minute walk, 144 meters away to the north, to the east. There is one, a 7-minute walk slightly to the south. Canada Safeway is only an 8-minute walk away. There's a designated AT cycling path right in front of the building. There is no parking or no stopping in front of the building, which is ideal for the unloading and unloading of Handy Transit vehicles. That's getting us into the design. We submitted elevations of buildings, exteriors, and paid $187.95 for plan approval on June 20th that illustrates a center hall plan and a front door with side doors plan. Both buildings' exterior fronts look exactly the same. This, whether it's just a front door with functioning with two units or serving all the units, is exactly that. We are championing the front door with side doors plan design because it balances the City of Winnipeg's Osborne Village neighborhood secondary plan requirements for a front door, parking in the back, and pedestrian connections to the front sidewalks. It meets the City of Winnipeg's own guidelines for building a vistable home, which we have here. And adheres to the Manitoba Building Code regarding the slope of wheelchair ramps, which we have here. First, what is a vistable home? A vistable home is one that allows basic and essential access to both residents and visitors who experience difficulties with steps because of mobility limitations. The vistable design features include 3 points. One level, no step entrance, minimum 36 inches wide on an accessible route. Wider doorways, minimum 32 inches, clear passage throughout. A wheelchair accessible bathroom on the main floor. We are not required to construct vistable dwellings. However, we intend to meet these guidelines to qualify as vistable because we believe this feature will attract those with mobility challenges. I asked Rob, why do you want to rent to people who have mobility challenges? Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, it's on. I mean, without sounding bad, if it sounds bad, it's profitable. Like, there's a definite shortage, I think, probably throughout the planet for people in, who have challenges getting around and stuff. Maybe you have to use a wheelchair, walkers, and everything else. So I guess our thought is, you know, aging population, you know, a building that... is going to be, we intend to keep long term for rentals. We want it to be useful for as many people for as long as possible. So, I mean, I can start getting to, you know, people in my own family and stuff who would love to have an opportunity like what we're building here. But I mean, I guess everybody knows somebody who's aging, getting older, and probably doesn't want to be moved into an old folks' home where, you know, they have nothing more than a bed and a TV. And have to ask for the washroom, have to go eat in the dining hall with, you know, a bunch of other people, these sorts of things. So, I mean, I know it may sound all like we're trying to create something that...
I was chair of Access Committee for 14 years and championed a visitable housing
that we
have in front of you. So
but we can...
You don't need to explain it all.
We can do that here. So that makes us excited. So.
And actually, just so you know, it does serve two purposes as well. The idea was we have the ramps go down the side, down the sides of the building into the access point at the sides. And actually, that's good for two reasons. One, because we're going to have 3 visitable units in the basement or the lower unit, the lower level, and also we're going to have our bike room down there. And nothing is more annoying than having to haul bikes up and down stairs so people can just take their bike out of the bike room and go right up the ramp and out. So that's the idea.
Getting into that, we are required under Article 3834/1 in the Manitoba Building Code, which is before you, that an accessible route wheelchair ramp have a slope of not more than 1 in 12, 12 feet of length for every 1 foot up, plus we need a 3-foot landing at the top. Thus, we are required when building accessible homes to have a wheelchair ramp that meets the Manitoba Building Code. For a building that has a ground floor elevation above grade of 2.9 feet, which is ours, a wheelchair ramp of 35 feet with an additional 3 feet landing is required. That's 38 feet. There is not enough physical space between the public sidewalk and the front of the building without moving the building entirely to the back of the lot and reducing parking to accommodate a wheelchair ramp to the front of the door. The length of the wheelchair ramp, as per the Manitoba Building Code, does not make it possible to construct both a front main entrance or parking in the rear, as per the Osborne Village secondary plan, and be a visible dwelling. There's not enough physical space on a 148-foot deep lot to locate 8-foot by 20-foot parking stalls in the back and have a 35-foot long wheelchair ramp leading to the public sidewalk in the front. It's simple dimensions. We've looked at it. We've tried to make it work. We could fit
John,
in ramps, but they can only go on the sides.
Can I just ask you a question? Because I'm just a little confused. Like, this is the... Is this a new plan you're submitting today?
Because
you've never mentioned a wheelchair ramp, you've never mentioned visibility.
We've overtly tried
not to. Excuse me, can I just finish the question? You haven't mentioned, and I'm obviously everybody supports that it's motherhood, but I'm just trying to understand is that what plan you're submitting today, and has the planning department seen the plan you're submitting today?
Yes, we submitted plans to the planning department back on June 20th with two plans because we were told to submit one with a center hall plan and one with side doors.
Right. We're so which one is this?
This is, the building looks exactly the same.
The side doors, I mean, it's not drawn in here because of
it's on this one.
The way this is. That's a vertical one, but the side door is just simply, obviously on the side, there's ramps on either side of this building. There's a...
Because at the last hearing, you said that you would be fine with either design, and it was just a matter of sorting out the parking and coming back, and you were to meet with planning and discuss the design. And so it seems like you've come in here. I don't know why you're angry, because I haven't said no to anything.
Either.
I'm trying to understand what's happening here.
We're not angry. We're just, I guess...
You came in here with, like, as if we're against your project, and I don't understand what's going on.
We're just trying to understand what's going on.
And
we want to get going. So, like, with a situation where, I mean, we are excited about this, and this keeps us up at night. We want to get going on this thing. And we are.
Well, that's fine. I'm just trying to understand what you're proposing and how it's different from what we were talking about.
This is what the building looks like on either plan. So, I think, like, I hope this meets the Osborne plan, regardless of the functionality of where this goes. I mean, this either goes up and has access to the two decks, or this goes up into a little corridor with a glass door. But the thing is as soon as we go with the center hall plan, that's going from here way down to here, right? And in order to make that work, we need to stretch the building back in order to make the units even livable. Like, who wants to live on 450 square foot? Like, it doesn't make sense for us to build that. So that's why we have to stretch the building back to make it actually livable, because of this long hallway we have to build with an extra staircase at each end, versus what we want to do, which is have ramps down each side with parking in the back.
Were these ramps part of this discussion before and they just never came up, or is this new?
We always
it's great if it's accessible.
Councillor, and I take full credit for that or blame, is I don't believe a project should be approved because it's going to provide people with wheelchairs. It should not be a public hearing item. I feel strongly about that. Because we're trying to, we're trying to show that, look, we're trying to meet the Manitoba Building Code. We're trying to make it visible. We're trying to meet all these wonderful guidelines here. And I'd prefer not to have it as a public hearing item, but it's becoming a public hearing item. When we look at center hall designs, we can't get a ramp to go to the front of the door. So it goes to the side.
Just to be clear, nothing has changed from our original application. All we're saying is that now there's ramps on the side instead of a sidewalk. That's it. Right? The building is still the same.
I'm assuming
that's a different plan, though.
Wasn't there access into the building from the side? Like, I don't know. I'm not building code, and I'm not a planner. But maybe there's some issue about having access to people using a pedestrian walkway using it as a wheelchair ramp. I don't know.
This has stayed identical. This is what we submitted right here. You come in the side into this area.
But now you're going to be walking a wheelchair ramp.
Well,
right?
This can be a ramp for anything. I mean, it's a wheelchair ramp.
Do you have those as shared use? Do the building code allow you to do that?
We've given you a copy of the building code, and yes, it can.
We're trying to.
Okay.
You know, you're making it sounds like this has been delayed, but only because we asked for a couple of things for you to meet with the staff. Did you meet after the last meeting? Did you sit down with the staff and go over the issues that you were to go over with them?
They went over one particular issue with us, and we considered the idea. And
when did that happen?
A week ago.
Okay, I'm just trying to understand what's in front of us, because it does seem to me like this has changed again now.
This is the exact same plan as submitted back.
It's just ramps instead of a sidewalk? I'm just trying to understand what that looks like.
We didn't have focal points to show you, and I'm not sure if you had an option to see both of these. So, I mean, we've made a point of bringing them this time.
Okay.
But, like, when we were going on this talk about the center hall plan down the middle, we're saying, well, it's the same thing. It's the same look from the street, and yet it completely changes. It takes two available parking spots away from it. It makes so we can't have accessibility the way we want on the sides. It makes everybody who has bikes, it's way more. It's just way more convenient to do.
So you want to do the first plan you came forward with of the two. You don't want to do the center.
Yes, that's the point. Is we're trying
and
to.
And all this stuff about accessibility and all that is to hammer us with that. But well, that's what you're trying to do.
If you want to put it,
you
as
want
a condition,
the first one. You don't want the center door. I'm just trying to understand what you're even asking.
We just want to make sure that we can show this as and point. And, like, it's the better building for that lot.
Because at the end of the last meeting, you guys said you were comfortable with either option. No, you would accept either option.
We said we'd go back and try to make it work there's physically not enough space to accommodate a ramp from the front of the sidewalk to the building.
We thought we would have something on that day, but now that we've had a chance to go back and look at this. So the point of going through all this about wheelchair, it's going to probably be its best used for wheelchair, but about accessibility issues and that kind of stuff, is that it's the only way to do it. And it's definitely a good thing for this building, and it might be something that other buildings kind of catch on to. I haven't seen a lot of these around, and it's a fantastic idea. I mean,
the guys over at Grammar Hall, they did their accessibility, they sold out in 2 minutes.
Right. And the thing is when we're dealing with this, the reason we're doing this, to be frank, is because we can get a premium for all three of these units. Like, we were walking around the neighborhood just seeing what there was out there and just getting a feel for a number of things there. We ran into a nurse who was working at another home with design for people with seniors and people who have issues with accessibility, and she just basically went off on how unhumane a lot of these places are. They're old, they're run down, she called them institutions. She wouldn't have any loved ones living there, and I mean, that just screams opportunity to us. We can get a premium on these such that the value of this building will go up by $180,000.
Okay, could we focus in on what plans, what you're asking for today in terms of what plans you submitted and have they been reviewed by the planners?
We submitted them back.
Nothing's
the
changed.
First plan submitted back.
So you've got two original plans you submitted and you're saying you would like the one that doesn't have the central entrance.
Correct.
And all this other stuff is whatever.
Yeah, we are.
I'll check with this afterwards, but I'm just trying to understand what you're asking us because it's a little confusing.
Yeah, no.
We're just making our point over and over and over again, I guess.
Well, you don't need to because we all believe in accessibility.
Of
we're
course.
Already there, and you're singing to the choir on that. And
so
obviously, that's a good thing.
It felt like an attack. Sorry.
Well,
you are right, though. They are, in fairness to John, he is correct. It's like the restaurants and other stuff we have to rezone and stuff like that. I may think the restaurateur person is a fantastic person on the planet, but that's not what I'm zoning. I'm zoning that land. I'm not zoning you guys. I have no guarantee.
You can't zone for people.
And I can't zone that you're going to do this stuff because we have no guarantee. I
have 180,000 reasons why we're doing this.
Well, we have a lot, but here as me as a policymaker, I have to decide if I'm going RML to the fit to the rezoning and with the variances. I don't have anything in here except for coming back to City Center Committee for the planning approval and stuff to say you must build it this way now. You must sell to seniors.
But I'm
we
saying
the
logic that I'm using here is of course I'm going to do it.
Good on you. Good
because
on you.
Why wouldn't I?
Hey, I have had some great people give me some great advice and great ideas that they plan to do, but things change. Again, I can only do what the policy says.
So
what you're saying.
To make it successful like this.
And if we sit here today and we lie to you and we say we're going to do all these things, we don't do them, and the next project we bring forward to you, do you think you're going to believe us? No.
Who knows who will be here next time?
Well,
let's focus on this. Can we focus on this project and what you're submitting to us today, okay?
Yeah.
So I understand what you're saying. You submitted two plans to planning, I assume, and we'll go over that again. You're saying you believe that the other plan does meet the needs, the intent of the Osborne Village plan.
Right.
And you,
and
I understand
look,
what
it's going to look like this.
I understand what it looks
four
like.
Different, like we're going to use the four different materials on the front. It's going to be a very good looking building.
So you're arguing for the plan, that this version of that plan.
Correct.
Okay, I understand that. Now the second issue, and the reason we laid it over had to do with the parking, and I appreciate all the statistics and whatnot, but why would you have a problem with a car share program last time you seemed to think it was a good idea. I mean, this is something that if someone has a disability and they don't have, or they are socioeconomically disadvantaged and they have a membership and then they can have a car and they don't own a car, it's pretty good for them. So do you have a problem with that? Because that's
no, it's not an issue of a problem.
I believe the report recommends it.
I guess, to be honest, it was the way it was presented to us. It just, and the agreement that they want us to sign, and like the way that the business is set up, like for, we're offering to buy a membership for 10 people for the shortage that we had before. Why do we have to buy them a car? If they don't have within their co-op, within their system of doing business, an allowance for as new members come on, the X amount of money goes aside to buy new cars, and they only rely on people gifting vehicles to them?
Well, that, I think, well...
What kind of business model is that?
Well, it's...
And more...
And, like, we are literally giving them a car and have no say in whether or not our people can become members there, whether or not they will change the location of that car. That agreement that they have, that they gave us, we were literally buying a car for somebody else and just saying, have at her. And on top of that, we had to do any repairs. We had it, like, we had no say in anything.
No, that's, I think you might have some misinformation about how it works, but we can go
over
it.
But the agreement, though, the way the agreement's worded is we are basically buying a car and have no control. We're handing it over. And just the way it was presented and everything else, we felt like it was a complete attack. So that's probably why we came in here the way we did, because we felt like we were being pressured into something.
Because we talked about this the last meeting. I don't...
We're okay with
it. But then there was supposed to be some discussions and that didn't happen.
We're prepared
in between.
They're prepared to get like memberships for their people in the building. They're prepared to get like transit passes for the people who live in the building. But the idea of purchasing a car that in this agreement they could turn around and sell that car in 2 months and say, okay, we want another car.
I think that's some misinformation about the contract.
Like we went through that more than once and the agreement was such that
when did you go through it?
Over the last week.
We all went through it.
You went through the agreement and you found all these... Okay.
Well, take a look at it, Jenny. I mean, it's very much we're buying them a car and they're just having a heyday with it, doing whatever they want, which is just not fair for us as the developers to have that kind of investment in their business, which I realize serves our... It serves the people living in our property. It serves the people living in our property. Maybe we have no control over that, and it might be nonprofit.
So what you're saying is no, you will not participate in the car share program.
Why not buy a car for Handy Transit, or they're prepared to buy a membership into a car share program when there's one or whatever existing in the village.
If we went ahead and approved what's in front of us here, that's what's being recommended from planning, which is to have a car share agreement, which is very different from the one you're describing, I'm afraid. I mean, there's a maintenance agreement, there's other things in there that some of the things you're expressing fear about, I don't believe are accurate. I think you must have misunderstood something.
Well, the intention may not be that, but the way it's worded is not the way it's worded.
And other developers are being required to do this. So, like, it's not like we're singling you out and saying...
Well, only one other developer that we've been told of, and this is how it sounds.
We're in discussion with a number of developers, and we're going to be asking people to do this.
Is this the only option, though? I mean, really, if we became...
Well, we talked about a parking management plan as another option, and John didn't seem to know what that was, so I hope you figured out, remember what it is now.
Parking management plan is a letter to the city of Winnipeg. When instead of a variance for parking, you're filing something called a parking management plan to have reduced parking. We've applied...
No, it's not just to have reduced parking. It's to have a plan of alternative parking
that you've
arranged with somebody else.
So
we've done it over and over.
We have that as well.
We understand where you're coming from. We don't want to flood the neighborhood with more cars, right? That's the whole idea behind this development, right? We're trying to avoid that, okay? But we understand that people will potentially have cars. So we apply for 18 units. What we'd be willing to do is be willing to only build 15, of which we would build 3 of them visible housing, and most likely those people would not require cars.
As
right? Okay, first of all, visitable housing is something, the concept is something that my committee brought to forward to Winnipeg during the Plan Winnipeg process in 2001. And it is not for people who are unable to drive or anything else. It is just making a house accessible, not even accessible, but more accessible. And if you break a leg or something else, it is a great idea, and I think all housing should be visitable. But it doesn't mean that because the person buys a visitable house, they aren't able to drive. Lots of disabled people drive.
But it means the opportunity is there for them.
Yeah.
So that's all we're going at.
So it's a great thing that you're building visitable housing, but I'm not sure what it has to do with the parking stalls.
We're not going to get the premium rent on just anybody living there. So we're targeting the rental of those units to people who can use them as they were designed.
Okay.
So, but here, we have more than just this, Jenny. We have more than just this. So, what Jeff was saying is, like, we've gone through our design, and like, 18 is what we want, but we can do a great building at 15 units that we're just as excited for.
15. Okay.
So what we have is 15 units with the 8 parking spots as per our original plan. We have a bike room. We have bus stops all over the place. Right. We have 3 units that likely will not need parking.
Maybe.
I don't think a visitable suite means it doesn't need any parking necessarily. I think that's a stretch.
Okay.
Because I know lots of people with disabilities and who drive.
We can.
In fact, they drive more often because it's harder for them to get around.
The building that you were talking about that sold out in one day, what was conditions there?
I'm sure they're desirable to build. That's not what we're talking about.
No, that's not.
Right.
Okay, like I hear you, and I think it's great what you're trying to do. The problem is here's the problem why people are getting frustrated here, and I think I see you're frustrated, we're frustrated, and I think that's because we're all squeezed here, because we have a limit on how long we're allowed to deliberate over something. We asked in between meetings that certain discussions happen that didn't happen, and I think that it's not fair to just point your finger at us, John, and say you should do what you should do. Like, we asked specific things at each adjournment.
We have a plan that was beyond what we just said. Like,
okay, so now you've got a different approach. Now you're saying 15 units.
Well, you asked for a parking plan. I'm trying to tell you the parking plan.
Okay. You have a parking plan?
This is your parking plan, okay.
Do you have one? Do you have something that's not mentioned anywhere, a parking plan?
Well,
it's to go to
let me tell you what we have.
Yeah, please.
So we have a building that has 15 units in it. We have 8 units provided out back. Three of those units in this building are probably not going to need parking, because that's what we're looking for. We also have 4 units that we've arranged, or 4 parking spaces that we've arranged for, like...
So you do have a parking plan.
A stone's throw from here. Where's the Google?
Well, that's all we were asking.
Well, I was trying to say, sorry, Jenny, we've been back and forth.
Yeah, 4 sites.
So we have 12 parking spots, all of which you can stand out front with a pitching wedge and hit.
15 units with 12 lots.
There's
15 units with 12 lots, 3 of them with the idea that they will be for people who have challenges. So we have the vast majority of this building handled. Along with that, we can... I still love the Winnipeg co-op idea. It's just not what was presented to us. They need to relook at how they put that up to people who are, you know, looking at doing what we talked about, because that was an attack. We took that as a total attack. So
I'm baffled.
Read it, Jenny. Read it.
Well, I can't because we're in a hearing, and you're asking me to read something that's not in front of me while I'm in a hearing, and this is the last chance we have to deliberate. So, you know, I'm just saying, like, in fairness to us, we're being squeezed at the last moment here with a bunch of stuff that's contrary to everything we've ever been told about the car share program. So it's a little difficult for me to just go, okay,
the parking
throw it all out.
It's right here.
Kind of crazy. Maybe.
Our building's right here.
Yeah.
We have 24-hour parking range right here, 4 spots.
There's a gym right there that's going to rent.
So you have 4 additional spots.
Yeah. Right.
So if we approve this with 8, you'll have 12 spots.
We have 12 spots.
And you're now saying you're doing 15 units?
We would be willing to compromise a 15.
Yeah, 15 is still...
Oh, okay, this all sounds really interesting.
15
is... I'll just have to figure out how we can make that work.
Right.
Much better.
So those last 3 units, like I said, to make them marketable, our intention is to market them to people who... won't be in need of... Yeah.
I really wish, though, like, you know, we're not the enemy here. Like, I've been trying to approve this from day one, figure out how to make this work.
Sorry.
Because I want rental. I want accessible. I want all these things you're doing as much as you do.
And we want to build this thing.
Okay, well, then you need to, in future times, because we'll be dealing with you, I'm sure, over many approaches, we'll be working together. Please work with the planning department and tell them these things, because, you know, we're saying there wasn't a parking plan submitted to the planning department. There wasn't these four spots are suddenly here. But that's wonderful, but like, why weren't they?
Because the way it was presented, Jenny, it wasn't sent in a tractable manner. It felt like it was an in the dark transaction where there was
the car share program?
There was no email sent about it. Nobody answered some of the emails that we sent to clarify. I mean, if it was as simple as we buy a car, we build a building, just tell us that. But there was no email communication, nothing in writing.
We'll follow up and
nothing in writing saying that.
Actually happened after you're finished making your presentation.
It feels like we're being bribed.
Maybe you can just tell us what you're asking. Like, it's a moving target here.
We want to build
15. This has gone on a bit too long. Can you just say?
We want to build 15 units with 12 parking spots that are available.
You've got a parking agreement with four stalls in addition to the eight.
Yes.
And you're now going down to 15 units. Does that change the plan fundamentally?
No. It's identical to this. So yes. Again.
And you don't want to go. You want to go with something that looks like a front entrance. You feel will have the same impact as if it was the central corridor.
Honestly, that change. I mean, originally we just had decks up front here, which was still a nice building.
But
this is a nicer building. Like the Osborne plan. I love it. It's great. We've improved the front look of our building.
So it has the appearance of a front entrance here, which is to two suites, but it's not a central corridor. I just want to know what I'm deciding here.
Right, but then we have the accessibility.
And then you've added some accessibility features that weren't in the plans you submitted earlier, or these ramps?
Because we're getting into building code issues.
That's right. Is there,
we don't submit building code.
That's not been so, okay.
Drawings,
so you're just saying that's what you're
saying. That's why
it doesn't matter for your bear. It doesn't matter on the side.
You need 3 feet. It has to be 3 feet wide, and we have.
That's why we're getting. We went back and talked to the architect. We're getting into like code compliance and building code issues that are at the state.
I'm just trying to understand whether that's part of.
Yeah. So I mean, ask any questions you need here, Jeremy. I mean, we're an open book at this point, so you understand this. Yeah. Let's get this thing done.
Okay. We got it.
Thank you. If you could sit down now, and then we'll have some
let's
discussion.
Let's move on. Have a long one.
Appreciate it. It was a lot of
fun.
No props. No props.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
So, can you shed some light on what's been proposed here in front of us? Now, I mean, they're now saying has there been discussions of a parking plan and these four stalls, or this is anything that you've been aware of? Or what kind of discussions were there since the last meeting? Maybe you could
First of all, I'd just like to say that we've encouraged dialogue between all of the adjournments.
Mm-hmm.
We've never indicated that a car share was the only option. We've said that please provide us with alternative parking plans, whether it be off-site parking stalls that are rented, etc. In the end, we had our conversation with Peg City Car Co-op, and in that conversation, we learned that they would be happy to have a car in this location. So we proposed that idea, and we made it clear that it was not the only option, but there was one option that we knew that would satisfy the parking management on the site. This is the first that we've heard of any actual proposal for four parking stalls off-site. We haven't had really a chance to review where this fits into the plan. This is also the first.
This is the first you've heard of that?
Of 15 units as well, correct.
And 15 units, so.
I just want to note one thing. We also contacted Mr. Winthrop, and we invited him to contact Peg City because they said we would love to chat about this agreement, answer any questions about the agreement, but we heard from Peg City that they were never contacted by Mr. Winthrop or the developer. So any of these concerns about the agreement and concerns about that it was one-sided, I'm sure that Peg City would have been able to answer some of those questions and clarify things if there had been that dialogue that took place.
You've seen these agreements before, so mm-hmm. What is your understanding of what an agreement like that is normally like in terms of the concerns that we've heard here about it?
The agreement, and our understanding is that it's a three-year agreement. It's $28,000, and it covers the price of the vehicle, as well as maintenance and insurance on the vehicle for 3 years. After 3 years, Peg City has the option of moving the vehicle if it's not profitable at that location. But if it is profitable, and they feel that this is a prime location, east of Osborne Street in the village, they feel that this is going to be a great location for the car. So they don't think that there's any going to be any concerns about it not being profitable. But if it is not profitable, then after 3 years, Peg City has the right to move the vehicle to a different location. However, the agreement with the city is contingent upon the car share being in place for 3 years. So after 3 years, if it's not working, they're okay. They've met their obligation with the city. All they have that to continue then is the 10 memberships, which is a one-time fee. So you're basically looking at $28,000 plus then an additional $5,000 for the membership. So it's a $33,000 one-time cost.
And that covers all the maintenance and everything else.
Everything, yeah. And then they've met their obligations under the parking, and they can basically walk away.
Your recommendations in the report say that if the car share idea doesn't work out or isn't chosen, then they could come back with some kind of parking management plan or would be required to, or how is
this
worded?
Well, I just want to be clear as to what a parking management plan actually is, because it is defined in our zoning bylaw. It says an applicant may propose to the director a parking management plan prepared by a professional traffic engineer or a parking consultant, documenting that a lower amount of automobile parking is adequate to meet the needs of the proposed use or a combination of uses, and to prevent traffic or parking congestion on surrounding streets because of unique patterns of use, proximity to public parking areas, proximity to major public transit, other factors, without the imposition of additional parking management tools. So it actually is a plan that's presented to the department, which, you know, we have a chance to review and then provide professional planning advice on. There has been nothing presented to us as an alternative. So that's why we've presented the car share, because we had no other alternative. So we're just putting it out there and saying this is something that we would feel comfortable with, we think would work. Peg City thinks it's going to be successful in that location, and we think it would be sustainable. We have nothing from the applicant tangible, so we can't provide any comments on that.
Okay.
I don't know. So you've submitted a revised report, and maybe you could just walk through the recommendations that you're presenting. I guess, maybe another question is the other issue. There's the parking issue is one, and then the other issue is the plan itself that was submitted to you. What are we approving today if we approve this? What plan are we approving? Do we need to, now they've suggested a few different changes. How does that work in terms of plan approval and stuff like that?
Sure. I guess when we left the last meeting, it was our understanding that they were going to look at making that building plan work with the front and back entrance. We hadn't seen any updated plans in the duration of between those meetings. News about the 15 units is new to us. We were told in the meeting with Mr. Winthrop that this was intended to be visitable housing, but we hadn't ever really heard anything about this prior and hadn't seen any plans that were indicating how this might be achieved. Again, albeit it's not really a rezoning issue, but it would have been helpful to understand what their intents were with this project.
So in terms of the picture they showed us here with the front door and the steps going down, how, based on that, is that something that you would consider in compliance with the Osborne Village plan and acceptable?
We've discussed that, and we interpret the plan as long as there's entrances or an entrance on the front that it complies with the plan.
So that's not a really big problem. We could go with that portion of things.
It would have to come back to city center anyway.
But yeah, it would have to come back for plan approval, and so I'm not overly concerned. I guess that's fine. So, and I guess the issue of the number of units, is that something that's is variable? What this is a rezoning for to permit That's the variance I'm looking at. Sorry, that's what I'm confused here.
The rezoning is from RMFM to RMFL.
So whether it's 15 or 18 units is not specified in the rezoning.
By proposing any less units, a variance isn't required for the lot area per dwelling unit. They're not exceeding the maximum number of units on the lot.
I think the challenge with all of this is the parking aspect of it. And I guess, you know, obviously if there's 15 units, that's less of an issue. I personally like the idea of offering the car share thing as part of this, but if they're totally set against it, I guess I'm wondering, like, is there a way we can say you can do the car share thing or you can do this, as in a parking management plan, something like that, and then it can be, they can have the choice, because I think when they sit down and talk with the car share people, they may find it actually makes a lot of sense for them once everyone cools off and has that, those conversations and get those questions answered, because honestly, it's a fabulous idea and it fits exactly with the ideals of this project.
We'll give you better feedback.
You can come back up after, so I shouldn't be having that dialogue with you right now, but I'm just saying, like, in terms of what we can do here, is it possible...
Add B.
Pardon me?
A or B. So either 3A and then add B.
Oh, you're talking on the rezoning?
Rezoning.
3A.
Right here.
Okay. Or prior.
Or put renumber it to number four, or a parking management plan.
Yeah. Is it possible to do it that way?
Yes, it would be possible to do that. It would be helpful for us, I guess, to have some parameters then under what you would want to see for an alternative to a car share agreement.
The
number of stalls you would want to see.
How many would be appropriate? I guess we'd leave that more to your...
Well, it would depend on the number of units that there...
If there was 15 units, mm-hmm. and then there was 8 stalls now, mm-hmm. And then they were to get 4 more, I mean, I think that would be pretty good. But that's just like a gut feeling. Like, it's not necessarily the best way.
Well, there's just, I mean, a few questions I have. I mean, one is... If they wanted to go with 15 units, we would recommend that you cap the density in the zoning agreement, because under the zoning that they're asking for, they can do 18 units.
Yeah.
And without capping it in a zoning agreement, they can come in and get permits for 18.
So we could make an amendment to say 15 units if they're wanting to do 15 units, and they're okay with that.
So we can do that. And then under the shared parking, where they would go out and lease 4 spaces, that would be a perpetual cost that they would have to incur year after year after year. They would have to pay to lease 4 spaces. I would just challenge them to say, you know, economically, if you compare the two options, a car share versus leasing 4 spaces in perpetuity, what's going to actually work out better for you? And number two is the spaces that they lease, we would have to check with zoning and make sure that those spaces could actually be rented for parking, so they would have to comply with zoning. So, So there'd have to be some due diligence.
And we don't actually have documentation on a lot of these things right now in terms of, you know, we'd have to approve it, sort of like plan approval that it would have to be.
Plan approval. And if it turned out that they couldn't lease those spaces, then basically they'd be back to square one and they'd have to come up with something else.
Okay, so I guess what I'm thinking then is that we could accept this design as presented here. I mean, is that enough to go on from what?
15,
yeah. With the scheduling plan approval back to city
center. With the plan approval back to center, with 15, and changing the wording on the report to be 15 units.
You would want to actually add a condition in the zoning agreement.
A condition in the zoning agreement.
The maximum density shall be 15.
Okay,
units.
And I can leave. You've got our intent very clear, and I can make sure we get that wording right. And I assume that's all. I mean, we'll give you a chance to come back up and confirm all this. And then in terms of the, I'd like to leave the car share in there you could either do the car share or come back with a parking management plan. But you're saying there should be some. What kind of parameters should we put on that?
We'll work it out. Yeah.
Well, I just want to be clear with that. What does that mean?
Well, I mean, in the past, for condo developments, we've said a 1-to-1 parking ratio. That's kind of been the parameter of a parking management plan. Yeah. This is a rental.
Yeah.
So,
0.8? Yeah.
We probably should just maybe take an adjournment for a few minutes and
we can work out some of this stuff. And
yeah.
Let me just have them perhaps come back up one more time then, and we'll
just
see.
Let's just I know no one's here. Just process. No one else.
Get on the mic.
Yeah.
There's nobody else in the room in support. No.
So we're good.
We're opposition. Okay. So I think you can probably see where I'm going. Mm-hmm. Is there? So if we can go with the plan, I'm comfortable going with the plan with the front doors you showed us.
Thank you.
That would come back to community committee and the director for approval, plan
Perfect.
Approval, which is our normal process, which is standard. Okay. And then the other issue with the parking. And are you comfortable with us capping this at 15 units?
Yes.
Yes.
In the zoning area?
Yes.
Okay. And then on the parking, I really urge you to keep an open mind on this thing. I mean, to spend 30, whatever it is, once, and then you've also got units where they have a membership. They don't have to put up. They're renting. They have a car they can use. They don't have to pay a $500 membership fee. That's going to be attractive. Especially to low-income renters or medium-income.
I mean, if we got to the point where if that's what you want and you're saying go ahead, then we'll talk about it more. But it's just, like I said.
Okay. Because what I'd like to do is give you a couple of options with the parking, but I guess I'm just saying with the parking plan, because think about it, it might actually make more sense for you to do this than to have to permanently lease a couple of spaces.
If the concern, though, is precedent with not having one-to-one parking here, though, I mean, it'd be a nice precedent to set saying, you know, if you're not having one-to-one.
No, we're not saying one-to-one because it's rental. We're
right.
saying
but
eight.
Our current plan is three spots short. And in lieu of the three spots, instead of doing car shares
do
and like that, we're doing visitable housing. And now imagine that became.
I don't think visitable housing is in lieu of parking. Because I don't think that's.
Councillor, if you're going to go into the car sharing, and this is what they do in other municipalities, is actually the city, like land dedication, collects money. And they're the ones that provide grants or funds to either building parking structures or to car share programs. It's not private developer to
development fees for sure.
Into a development fee, and you can collect money, and if you want to give to the parking authority, Toronto Parking Authority does that. If you build a new condo in downtown Toronto, you can't provide parking. You actually pay a fee. It goes to the City of Toronto. They fund their parking authority to construct.
They also run daycares and do a lot of things we don't do
yeah.
in Toronto.
But that's more palatable from people in the private sector.
Well, it's interesting.
They'll hand their money over to the government, but not necessarily to a third-party group who they're not familiar with.
Maybe you'd rather not do it, but we have had other people who have agreed to do it and are very interested in doing it. So that may be your view as a developer. Maybe you don't want to do it. I'm trying to find a way to give you an option. Like you could either do the car share or you could permanently lease three spaces or whatever number we figure out makes sense here.
So we're going to figure that out.
Okay.
Yeah,
so that's what I'm proposing, and I just want to know if you're...
We're not totally, opposed to it, okay? At the end of the day, this process has helped us build a better building, okay? We appreciate
okay.
that, okay? And we would like to have a couple of different options moving forward
right.
with
okay.
your guidance, and I think everybody will win.
But this new approach with the car share, like I said, it just felt, no offense to whatever, it just felt like an attack, like a, you know, dangling
yeah.
something
yeah.
in front of
yeah.
us.
Like, yeah.
Unfortunately,
let's
I think there's a little bit of tension
yeah,
coming.
That's where the tension's coming from, is the backroom feeling of, you know, you buy this car, you got this.
Okay.
It's like, well, that's...
That's not the intention whatsoever, though. I just want
that's
you to know that. Like, I supported the first car share issue with the Christ Science Church years ago and was really excited about it, and I'm encouraging this in all the developments that are coming forward. There's a number of developers. We're having a lot of new development and density in this area, and a lot of people are interested in going this route. So I know there's been some history here, and that's really not what I'm about at all. I'm really not concerned about that.
Mm-hmm.
We're all trying to do what's right here, and I think we need to put some of that history aside and
sure.
focus on what's in front of us here.
Please give us a couple of options, and like Michael said, I mean, maybe in the end we end up deciding that it's of our best interest to go with the car sharing program. But give us
yeah.
a couple of options
sure.
so we don't feel like we're...
That's what I'm trying to do.
So we have adjourned for a second?
Okay, we'll just have a brief adjournment.
Great,
okay.
Thank you.
We have a
brief
adjournment.
Hmm?
We
have
a brief. You want to step up? No, go over the back.
Oh, okay. Bye.
Yeah, that's right. No, we got rid of that. The Pelagius meals,